It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. I'm Brooke Schaefer with Raven News. May is Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Awareness Month, or MMIR. The MMIR movement calls attention to the disproportionate impact of violence on Indigenous peoples and seeks to find solutions. This week, to provide the community with cultural knowledge and resources, the Sitka Tribe of Alaska is hosting a two-day summit on trauma recovery. The workshop will be led by Christina Love, a Juneau-based advocate for domestic violence survivors. Love was recently appointed by President Biden to the U.S. Advisory Council on Human Trafficking.
You will equally feel devastated by the absolute atrocities that are happening, and also, I hope, empowered and liberated and knowledgeable and equipped with action. The title of the training is Moving from Trauma to Healing. And so we really hope to put a lot of emphasis on action so people can walk away with tangible things to do.
Love says participants at the two-day workshop will spend the time in storytelling sessions and panels, exploring everything from the science of trauma to the stigma of substance abuse and the role it can play for survivors.
So really a big point that we're going to drive home again and again is that when people experience harm, that they will end their pain and suffering in any way that they can. So we want to move away from deficit and look at how some of the worst parts of addiction lead to trafficking. Some of the worst parts of addiction, that shame and that stigma comes from people not really knowing what to do. So pushing family members away, kicking people out of shelters or programs because they don't know what else to do.
Harper Glazer is the transitional housing manager for Sitka Tribe of Alaska. She says the workshop is possible through funding from the U.S. Department of Justice's Office of Violence Against Women. And she says while tribal citizens are disproportionately affected by violence, it affects the community as a whole.
Sitka Tribe of Alaska is looking to not only just like provide direct service, but also being able to provide learning opportunities and workshops for providers in the community so that we can build our response and services that we offer to the whole community.
Love says one thing she hopes people will walk away with is this: recovery is possible for both victims and for people perpetrating harm.
For me and a lot of the people that I work with, there's no shame on either side there. We know that there's healing isn't possible along with shame. And so I don't want people to, you know, to feel that. I want them to know. And most people who have perpetrated harm were victims themselves. So that false dichotomy, I just want people to know that healing is possible.
The workshop will be held today from 10:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. and Thursday, May 9th from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Sitka Tribe of Alaska offices on Saginaw Way. For more information, including how to register for the workshop, visit our website, kcaw.org. Indigenous knowledge doesn't often end up on science fair posters, but for students in one Sitka High School class, traditional ecological knowledge is the center of their work. They recently shared their research in a regional science fair through the American Indian Science and Engineering Society. And as KCAW's Meredith Reddick reports, two Sitka High teams took home prizes for their projects on yellow cedar trees.
Students in Sitka High's class on traditional ecological knowledge have been researching yellow cedar trees for months. Caitlin Woolsey, who teaches the class, says yellow cedar was a natural choice for research because it's both culturally and ecologically important to Sitka.
It's a really important species to the forest and to our community. It's got huge cultural significance, and it's dying off due to climate change. So it's an opportunity to learn about our forest, about climate change, about our community.
Woolsey students recently presented their conclusions to the public in the lobby of the Sitka Performing Arts Center. Students met first with local cultural leaders and looked at the Sitka Tribe of Alaska's climate action plan to better understand the community's concerns and gaps in the research around yellow cedar trees. Then they developed their research questions.
What are the concerns around yellow cedar trees? What research needs to be done?
Each team worked with a mentor from the Sitka Sound Science Center, where they learned how to collect data in the field. Mentor Sarah Toby says part of the goal was to introduce tools for environmental monitoring to the students.
we get to bring that kind of piece into it and support the students and be mentors for the individual projects, which is really fun and I think helpful as they each take on a different question and kind of get to dive deeper into it with one person kind of helping them and guiding them along the way.
For student Sophia Kibbe, it was the environment around the yellow cedar trees that drew her attention.
My question that I wanted to research on was, how do environments differ in understories between the two sites, and how is it affecting yellow cedar trees?
She compared trees in a high elevation exposed area on Sitka's Harbor Mountain to trees in a shady grove at sea level and hypothesized that the mountain trees would be less healthy than those at sea level.
Yellow cedar trees have been dying because the snow has been melting, and the snow is, it's not good for the snow to melt during the wintertime. The roots cannot be exposed to any, like, can't even be exposed to 20 degrees. It's not good for it. It'll die.
She says she learned a lot through the field work, but it wasn't all fun.
I don't like getting dirty. I was wearing my clothes right here, and I got dirty.
Kibbe took home a prize for her project, and students Lily Mayo and Ben Hedrick took home the first place prize for their project on cedar bark removal, earning them an invitation to the national conference next year. In Sitka, I'm Meredith Reddick.
Wrangell High School students were awarded an Environmental Science and Sustainability Award last week. They now have the opportunity to present their research at a national conference in October. KSTK's Colette Zarnecki has more.
Senior Alicia Armstrong and her classmates compared microplastics in two of Wrangell's harbors. They collected water samples from Reliance Float and Heritage Harbor to check the microplastic count. All five students compared the numbers to results from the year before. The students hypothesized that microfibers and microplastic would be consistent with the 2023 data that last year's students tested. Armstrong says, after all, boat usage and the population remain the same over the year.
They did this project last year, and our main topic was to see if the microplastic count has risen since last year, and our data showed that it actually did.
In fact, it increased by a lot. Armstrong says that the amount of microplastics increased by about 50% at Heritage Harbor and nearly 200% at Reliance Float. The Wrangell experiment was part of a program known as RAISR, or Rural Alaska Students in One Health Research. They presented their scientific research poster at the American Indian Scientific and Engineering Society's regional fair online. 21 different presentations were given that day. Wrangell's students were awarded the Environmental Science and Sustainability Award, representing Ha'ani, protecting and honoring our land. The project also landed the students in third place in the regional competition. Stella Churchill, who is a junior, says they considered several topics to research.
Looked at doing shellfish toxins and crab larvae and looking at green crabs.
But they chose to test microplastics in the water because they had recent data and it was the most interesting to the group. Junior Aubrey Wynn says that microplastics affect one of the main industries in Southeast Alaska.
Having large amounts of microplastics in our ocean would affect our fishing industry, and we rely heavily on that. And it's kind of what makes Wrangell Wrangell. And same thing all throughout Southeast.
Science teacher Heather Howe says she found out about the group receiving the two awards through a Zoom call at the beginning of one of her classes. She's been facilitating the local RAISR program since 2020 and was shocked by the news.
I literally got up from my desk and like ran down the hallway, ran into Boom Chain's room. He was in the math room. I'm like, Boom Chain, you guys won! And then I sprinted to the office and told Aubrey and Della the same thing because they happened to be in there.
The recognition allows them to present their research on the national level at the American Indian Science and Engineering Society National Conference. It takes place in October in San Antonio, Texas.
I may be more excited than they were, but I was thrilled.
The Rangel students aren't sure if they'll present their research at the conference, though. Armstrong will be graduating this year, and the other students are committed to sports during the fall. Presenting remotely isn't an option, so they'll have to work out the details. The RAISER program is available to high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors in most Southeast Alaska communities. It's developed by the University of Alaska Fairbanks and is based out of Sitka. In Rangel, I'm Colette Zarnicki.
I'm Brooke Schaefer, and this has been Raven News. And now taking a look at the weather for Sitka for today, Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. Today, rain, high near 48. Southeast wind around 20 miles per hour, becoming southwest in the morning. Winds could gust as high as 35 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 100%. New precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. Tonight, rain, low around 43. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 80%. New precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. You're tuned in to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Good morning.